It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for a brand new week of live, independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting. It is the 17th day of May, 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's also where you go and click on chat room if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room when this program is live Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, Daylight. And if you pop in right now, early arrivers Otto and Squeaky and Stockton Larry will be happy to greet you. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Robin. And it's Moran Monday, and oh my God, oh, we have Morans. Round up the usual suspects, but we got Morans, and what a delight. Yeah. So what do I mean by, we got to take care of business first. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so that means we send out thanks this afternoon to our subscribers this Monday the 17th, Sunday the 16th, and Saturday the 15th. Thank you very kindly to our pal, labor man, Gary, out in New Mexico. Thank you very much indeed to our pal Timothy and to Mark and to Reinhard there on the Virginia coast. The pool's looking very nice, Reinhard. Thanks as well for taking a bite out of the fundraising deficit to David. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Nagla. Thank you so much, all of you, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this all on the air, keep all the sticks spinning on all the plates and the monkeys riding on the unicycles. And yeah, thank you. It's how this program does continue as long as it has. And so we find ourselves with a deficit from last week. It's like $730, I think. Yeah, $730. That means we've got part of Thursday, all of Friday, and then today to keep this program fully funded and keep the bills paid, because somehow or another I can't get them to just, you know, give us free electricity based on my good looks. Shut up. Don't send emails or I'll sing. So anyway, if you'd like to help out, you can be a subscriber. It's easy. Just set it and forget it at the headon.live page. Or, you know, if you want to participate a la carte, as we say, that's cool too. And knocking out the deficit before so that we're not looking at a bajillion dollars come Friday on the front porch miracle. It would be really helpful because, it's just, you know, the ordinary stuff of life that we all deal with. Meanwhile, Robin, civil rights. There's nothing civil about the right. Jeffrey is in an incivil mood today. Were my giraffe eyes deceiving me, or was that Marjorie terrorist gangrene, a.k.a. Spuds McKenzie, trying to stick her snout-like nose through the door mail drop of Ocasio-Cortez? She actually reminded me of a child as she poked her fingers through a small swinging metal mail drop door at Ocasio-Cortez's office in the House. Somebody should inform Marjorie that Ocasio-Cortez is only promoting a good, clean Green New Deal as opposed to a marginally green, mold-ridden old deal. Marginally green. Well, that's worthy. No, Marjorie, Ocasio-Cortez is not interested in your immature, non-ripe greens. And there's no doubt about it, Jeffrey's right. What's wrong with that woman, Marjorie, traitor, gangrene, cue ball? And Jeffrey, not to be deterred. Yes, this woman is childish and stupid, as she has no acumen to speak of. I guess all those guys at the gym must have really... Nope, not going there. sorry, Giraffery. Joey says, I just want to say that by no means is Jeffrey judging or attempting to render a psychological analysis of this woman, but she is fucked in the head and allegedly, well, everywhere else. Just trying to make me say sexist shit, aren't you? Well, trying not to. That's part of the whole being a better person thing. Jeffrey has a bit of history. It was on this day in 1954 that the United States Supreme Court ruled unanimously in Brown versus Board of Education that racial segregation in public educational facilities was unconstitutional. The case centered on Linda Brown, who was actually black and had been previously denied admission to her local elementary school in Topeka, Kansas, because of her race. And Jeffrey, with a little more history. On speaking of race, we then had Brownback versus Board of Education in 2014 when Governor Sam Brownback decided to take Kansas out of the black and place it in the red with his Ronald Reagan austerity bullshit featuring endless tax cuts for the wealthiest Kansans. Yes, the legislation Brown enacted really bored a hole right through the educational system in Kansas, and many schools ended up cutting many extracurricular activities, and some even had to close down. When Brownback was interviewed concerning the children not having schools to attend, he simply stated, oh, hell, the kids love being out of school because they're just, wait for it. Yes, Brownback stated the children just love being out of school because they're just bored of education. Oh, God, every day with that giraffe. Oh, he tusks me. He tusks me. Jeffrey's been very colorful today so far with green and brown. He's spoken of Brownback's race to the bottom and race relations. Well, Sam Brownback was a real Ronald Reagan moron, but I think Marjorie Moran Terrorist Green might be winning the race of all-time morons on this Moran Monday. Oh, how quickly we forget Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King and Marsha Goodness Blackburn. Well, speaking of winning a race, on this day in 1875, the horse Aristides won the first Kentucky Derby, and of course, Aristides in Greek means the best. Unfortunately, this year's winner, Medina Spirit, was heavily influenced by Marjorie Taylor's. Apparently, the horse was hyped up on some... Wait for it. Yes, apparently, Medina Spirit was heavily influenced by Marjorie because the horse was hyped up on a mecca of greenies. Greenies are a psychostimulant, generally just for psychos like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Did Jeffrey just suggest that Medina had a mecca? Oh, dear. Finally, why did not Chuck Fraud nail Dan Crenshaw yesterday when Crenshaw said the $300 stimulus is keeping Crenshaw's local business from hiring people? And Jeffrey's back for more. I'm wondering, does Dan Crenshaw's business sell eye patches for both eyes because he thinks the American people are blind? Hey, Crenshaw, if people don't want to come back to work, it just might be due to the fact that you're not paying them enough. when people are making more money sitting at home earning $300 a week, why would they want to come back to work for less than that in a low-wage occupation? And I might add, in a pandemic that's still going on. Pay the people and they'll come back to work $15 an hour and just see how many people you'll have willing to work. Todd could also have nailed Crenshaw when he stated that there are still numerous illegals crossing the border every day, and all Chuck had to say, hey, Representative Crenshaw, if nobody was paying these people, they would not be coming to America looking for work. This has been Joey's Journal for more on Monday, the 17th day of May, 2021, with Giraffe only wearing colorblind glasses while watching out for all the morons to be total asses. Glasses? Asses? And there's a $10 colorblind glasses challenge on the table. That would get us down to $710. That'd be fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, right on all counts, but it is Moran Monday, and you don't get, I mean, there's usually a pretty good crop of Morans on any given day. Brother Deacon Asa says, here's one for the giraffe. Does Sam being a brownback have anything to do with the recent TP shortages? I'll see myself out, Brother Deacon advises. And Billable Rick wants to know, is Giraffe taking greenies? Or is Joey? Or are both of them taking psychoactives? Well, you know, when you think that, well, I don't want to destroy the illusion, but you know, if it's possible to pitch a Major League Baseball game while, as the young kids say these days, tripping balls, who knows? Who knows? Yeah, charged based on looks. Lee in New York says, I don't want to know how high my rate would be. That good looking, are you, Lee? Yeah. Over the weekend, the ugliness continued in Palestine. And now Israel is saying, hey, the Associated Press and Al Jazeera just needed blown up. And they're claiming they shared their damning evidence for why they blew up the Palestine headquarters of Al Jazeera and the Associated Press. They're saying, oh, no, we shared that with the Biden administration, but the Biden administration is saying, nah, not really. No, just saying you wanted to hit somebody is not evidence. No, they didn't say that, but I got the idea that that was kind of the idea behind it. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, they killed a bunch of children, and but I noticed a change, and language matters. I noticed a change in the terminology. And because I'm always waiting for Morning Mika to do something to torment the language, I noticed it with her. But I also saw it in other outlets as well. And that is this. Somebody is getting their talking points. And it happens every time one of these little furious murder storms breaks out. Hamas will launch a bunch of unguided rockets, most of which fall harmlessly in the desert. Some hit structures. They do. And it's the modern equivalent of throwing rocks with some explosives attached. But they are unguided. You know, once you set them off, you know, the rocket goes up, who knows where it comes down? Because there's no guidance system on them. And that puts them distinctly at variance with any idea of a missile, at least in the modern understanding of the language. When we talk about the distinction between missiles and rockets, we're talking about the distinction between precision guidance and no guidance at all. As far back as for God's sakes, the racist white supremacist Francis Scott Key, remember in his Star Spangled Banner, talked about the rocket's red glare. Well, yeah, they weren't guided either. And in the Second World War, rocket batteries were used, and they just up into the, but there's no guidance. You could kind of vaguely aim them and hope, but no guidance. And yet, lo and behold, I could not help noticing, it was like a Q-tip too deep into the ear. Yeah, goes the eardrum. No singing. Couldn't help notice Morning Mika started referring to them as missiles, and Psycho Beebe's spokes creep described them as missiles, because that makes it sound like something they're not. That makes it sound like the Palestinians are there with their crudely fashioned rockets, and we will put this directly on the... Well, that's the case. We will put this directly in the desert. They don't talk a lot about the Iron Dome system, which, by the way, knocks a bunch of these things out of the sky. Anything that looks like it might be particularly dangerous. No. But there is, because the call is growing for this bloodthirsty madness to stop. Oh, my God, didn't people just have a shit hemorrhage when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said something? She stated the obvious. In fact, she was quoting the Human Rights Watch and the UN Commission and a couple of other place outfits as well, when she said that Israel is an apartheid state. Oh, the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching. And it was referred to journalistically as an outburst, and that in turn got AOC a little bit wroth as well. And she said, so are there any articles out there saying that the reports that I'm relying on were outbursts as well, or is that a phrase and a term that we only reserve when women say something that they get upset about? And I think she's probably right. Oh, it was an outburst. You know, when the Israel Uber Alice bunch responds that way, it's never going to be a good thing. It just isn't, because it shows the weakness of the position. And even on my filthy morning habit this morning, they had the Palestinian ambassador, and then they had the Netanyahu spokes creep. And because, look, this is not about Jewishness, and this is not about this is specifically about what a horrible, horrible, awful, terrible, failed human being Bibi Netanyahu is. I mean, he's a crook. It's pretty obvious from the Israeli, but nobody seems able to do anything about it. It's as though he's untouchable, sort of like, Vlad Putin or something. But the worldwide call for this bloody madness to end is growing, and Israel is losing the PR war, as they should. because this isn't this is just politics. This is Bibi Netanyahu's and to another extent Hamas's desire to remain and build their power base, and they will build it on ground soaked in blood if need be. And as Flavio points out, the Israelis called the building owner and told him they would be bombing in an hour. One whole hour's warning. How generous. Well, you know, they didn't have to tell them at all. See? That was humanitarians, what that was. Ugh. But that's where the worldwide focus has been. Not worldwide. There are places on this planet that go merrily along day to day in their ordinary lives and never give the Israelis and the Palestinians a second thought. Tiny little country of no particular relevance beyond the fact that it's a nation state like any other on earth. And like all the nation states, there's a continuum of good to awful that those states exist on. So, yeah, we're back. And of course, just like every time some lawful gun owner becomes an awful gun owner by shooting up a grocery store, or an elementary school, or a nightclub, or a movie theater, or a university. In the aftermath, we tut-tut and we grieve. Some of us feel intense fury. And then we take a breath and we say, but absolutely nothing is going to be done. Nothing. Not a damn thing. And we just wait for the next bloodletting. But it's more on Monday. And, as Flavio reminds us, Jimmy Carter has called Israel an apartheid state. And fun fact, Flavio reminds us, the U.S., Israel, and Great Britain were the only countries that supported the South African apartheid regime. I remember. And what brought them down? What brought down that regime? Boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. Mm-hmm. Yep. But like I said, it's Moran Monday, and we need a light-hearted little Moran to get our evening started. Something that can divert our attention and remind us just exactly how goddamn stupid maggot, Trump-supporting, Trump-loving, Trump-worshipping, Trump-toe-sucking Republicans are. So if you were going to go looking for one of those, I mean, there's several states where you could find the usual suspects. West Virginia's one of those places. Talabama, God knows, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi, Mississippi in the news today. And the funny thing is, whenever you hear Mississippi in the news today, you know it's not going to be anything good. Oops. But in this case, we go to Oklahoma, Stan, where Governor Kevin Stitt, no, that's not a speech impediment, and no, his name's not Kevin Shit. It's Kevin Stitt, S-T-I-T-T. Well, he's trying to get himself reelected to gubernate the state of Oklahoma, Stan. Mm-hmm. And when you're running for reelection as governor in Oklahoma, Stan, you got to throw the red meat out to your political base. And in this particular instance, that apparently means blaming Joe Biden for a shortage. Oh, sure, it was easy to blame. The right wing's been doing it for a couple of, blaming Joe Biden for the shutdown of the Colonial Pipeline. Although the Colonial Pipeline people have had a very long time to get their shit together and make sure that their infrastructure was not guarded by a password that was P-A-S-S-W-O-R-D. But you know, they were on their little computer system that was running on MS-DOS, and on which they were the night shift was apparently playing Zork. Instead, you know, it got hacked, and then the panic buying set in. I dropped by my local Rippy Mart today, and every one of the pump handles had one of those little plastic signs on it, out of service. Because they didn't have no gas. Did have some diesel, but that's no help when you're driving a gas-powered engine. Mm-hmm. So I went on up to Sheets, and they had gas, and that was good. And you really can't blame this on Joe Biden, but that doesn't stop any of the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing morons, who took their trash bags and whatnot to fill them up. And I'm still trying to figure out, how it is that you, do they get out the garden hose and siphon it into their, I don't know. But nonetheless, out in Oklahoma, Stan, they're not affected by the Colonial Pipeline shutdown because they're west of the Mississippi. So Governor Kevin Stitt had to have something else to blame Joe Biden for. And by God, he found it. Because he knows what really animates the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans out there. And that is Jesus chicken. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we have learned through the course of more than a year in a pandemic is that the global supply chain has been screwed. Totally sideways. Like I said before, I'm now convinced that my little Dollar General is never, ever again going to get those handy-dandy little 99-cent bottles of Crystal hot sauce. It's been gone for 2 months or more now, and still they still haven't been restocked. And remember, they've got a computer logistics system that maintains inventory and says who needs what. Doesn't matter. We know Crystal. But it's not Crystal hot sauce that got Kevin Stitt and the pig lickings out in Oklahoma all worked up. Like I said, it's Jesus chicken. The chicken of bigotry. Not the chicken of Bristol. The chicken of bigotry. The poultry of homophobia. The pullet of anti-trans hate. Chick-fil-A. And the supply chain's a mess. And you know what the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans in Oklahoma stand want? They want sauce to go with their Jesus chicken. Mm-hmm. Because last week, the Jesus Chicken Corporation said that there would be a limit to the number of little packets of sauce that Chick-fil-A provided with their Jesus chicken. You know, they got the Chick-fil-A sauce, they got the Polynesian sauce, they got the honey mustard. Yeah. And they got the barbecue and the buffalo. Right, sure. And last week, Chick-fil-A, without mentioning Joe Biden's name, said that there had been an interruption in the supply chain. And they said, we are actively, because, you know, they're headquartered, in Hotlanta. We are actively working to make adjustments to solve this issue quickly and apologize to our guests for any inconvenience. In Jesus' name! So you only get one dipping sauce cup per item. Oh, the horror, the horror, the unthinkable grief. My God, the suffering, the sackcloth and ashes and the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth of the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing goobers who find that to be a desperate moment in the culture wars. Sort of like the Bowling Green Massacre, I guess. Or the battle for the airports in the Revolution. But no. According to Kevin Stitt and his fundraising flyer, God, this guy's a real genius. Joe Biden's policies have real-world consequences that he doesn't seem tuned to. He's more concerned about appeasing the woke liberals. That's another word for black people. With his out-of-touch radical socialist agenda. Please give to our campaign now to make sure Chick-fil-A never has another sauce shortage. Really. There are thousands of children in Oklahoma who go to bed hungry every night because Oklahoma. And it's all because Joe Biden done tooken their Polynesian sauce away. You know what might have affected the supply chain for all those sauces? The fact that they're now marketing and selling it on grocery store shelves. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's, you know, it's in the size, it's like a ketchup bottle. Kind of a rectangular flask, if you will. In my local Wiggling Pig, why, it sits right there next to the Yum Yum sauce. So popular in the Japanese teppanyaki restaurants. It's like a really sweet Thousand Island without the pickles, the Yum Yum sauce is. And the Chick-fil-A sauce is kind of like that too. But Oklahomans have to donate right now to Kevin Stitt so that Joe Biden can't never take away our freedom to have all the sauce packets we want with our Jesus chicken. But yeah, even though I mentioned that Oklahoma is not affected by the Colonial Pipeline shutdown, he decided to try to pull a little bit more coin out of Emery and Marvelline's pockets, claiming gas stations are having mass shortages, gas prices are soaring, the cost of groceries is going through the roof, and now Chick-fil-A has a sauce shortage. And who is paying the price? Everyday Americans. Now, I know gasoline isn't as expensive here as it is, say, for Sparky out in Northern California, or folks in the Bay Area, or Los Angeles, places like that. But it has gone up to $3 a gallon here, $2.99. And that's just in the last week or so. And one of the things about the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack is that, in fact, Colonial Pipeline, there wasn't that much noise about it in the news. But part of the reason they got it turned back on was not solely because of their genius. in undoing the hack, they paid the ransom. And the hackers were good to their word. And so they turned the pipeline back on. They let them turn the pipeline back on once the ransom was paid. So guess who's going to pay for that? Now, this was Colonial's own incompetence. But you can bet your ass that innocent consumers will pay for that incompetence. Because that's how capitalism works, or doesn't work, as the case may be. That's capitalism. You pass everything along to the rubes, I mean consumers. They did the same thing to us here years ago. The geniuses who run Appalachian Power, part of the American Electric Power Company, had this great idea during the coal boom of the early part of this century, the first decade of this century. And they said, dang, coal sure is expensive. We're going to buy a bunch of it and stockpile it expensively, and then we'll charge expensive prices to the people who buy coal from us. And then the bottom dropped out of the coal market. And so what did they do? Well, in the case of Appalachian Power, they ran to the West Virginia Public Service Commission and said, Hey, y'all, look, we thought we was being real smart buying, we was going to buy coal real expensive and sell it expensiver, but now we got a shit ton of coal on our hands that we can't give away. So would y'all mind making the rate payers pay for that? And Public Service Commission said, why, sure, just don't cry. We'll turn the little bastards upside down and shake them till the change falls out of their pockets. And Appalachian Power said, thank you. And that's why my power bill's as bad as it is. Because we don't use that much. All the lights are LED. This part of the mansion probably consumes more electricity than any other. But that's why. And so it's no different with Colonial Pipeline. Hey, fuckheads. Yeah, y'all gonna pay. Because it's a free market. And there's futures contracts out there. Yep. So, Kevin Stitt did this to take a little bit of heat off himself because he got bounced out of the commission. The governor of Oklahoma, Stan. He got bounced off the commission to commemorate the 1921 Tulsa Massacre. And they said, yeah, we don't really need him. He on that commission, his membership was purely ceremonial. This, of course, led a spokescreep for Kevin Stitt to say, it is disappointing to see an organization of such importance spend so much effort to sow division based on falsehoods and political rhetoric 2 weeks before the centennial and a month before the commission is scheduled to sunset. Okay. Whatever gets you through the night. But it was pretty obvious that a MAGA, maggot, Trumper like Kevin Stitt really wouldn't have had any meaningful input on that commission because, well, you know, just remember, Trumpism is white supremacy, in case anybody was wondering. Yeah. So Kevin Stitt, Moran nominee for this Moran Monday, the 17th day of May. Flavio points out, passing costs on to the rubes. It's called externalities. Oh, I know lots about externalities. The externalization of the cost of coal extraction is a thing that I have sat through many a lecture on, you know, when externalities like asthma and cancer and heart disease and birth defects, and they just pass it. And you know what? If it goes into the stands, consumer, and you catch it, it's yours to keep. Right. Untouchable, like Trump, too, asks Darlene in regard to Psycho Bibi. Psycho Bibi, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. No singing. We haven't even met Joey's challenge yet. Why am I getting the feeling, asks Darlene, that Netanyahu's also upping this war against the Palestinians to see just how far he can push the Biden administration? How far he can push Joe himself? What boundaries he can push and how far? Bibi had nothing to worry about with Trump, you know. And like good automatons, Biden and Nancy today, Jen, all rolled out the tired old BS cliche that Israel has a right to defend itself. No one out there talking about the fact that the little Palestinian children have a right to, you know, become little Palestinian adolescents or Palestinian grown-ups. No, not so much. Darlene continues and says, well, with the intensity of the questions thrown at Jen today, among other pushback by some congressional Democrats demanding that Biden call for a ceasefire, which he has yet to do, seems that tired old trope is backfiring now. And do you think Kamala's liking this? I don't think so. She's seeing how brown people are getting bombed, crapped, and shit on again. But she's a political creature, so AIPAC probably owns her dreams and aspirations as well. Well, remember, and I'm not being mean about this, she's a Southern Baptist. And the Southern Baptist Convention, well, their position is that Israel can pretty much kill anybody it wants to, especially Palestinians. But if they run out of Palestinians to kill, they can kill other people too. It's just so, so wearying. Thank you, darling. We can't use that, Lee in New York says. Store-bought sauce on restaurant chicken? Dear God, what next? Using sauce at home when you get takeout? Keeping your extra sauce packets in a drawer in the kitchen? That's why there's a sauce shortage. It's all those people taking those extra sauces home and keeping them in the sauce drawer in the kitchen. Guilty. Done it. I feel terrible. I didn't do it with any Chick-fil-A shit because I'm trying not to go to Chick-fil-A. Although maybe going there all dolled up someday might be fun. And by fun, I mean a miserable experience. Lee adds in regard to the Colonial Pipeline, of course the consumer pays. Who do you think would pay for a solid cybersecurity infrastructure? Well, I think the problem is that they didn't pay for one of those, and instead they paid dividends or bought yachts or some such shit as that. By the way, Randy Radar points out, I went to Subway for the first time in over a year today, and while I was paying at the register, I found out that the server was going for his second vaccine shot as of today. Yeah, won't be going back for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look, the mask guidance that came out, yay, we don't have to wear masks anymore. No, not what it says. I've had to run errands today, and I can assure you, everywhere I went in, I was masked. Because I know I'm vaccinated, I know Agnes is vaccinated, but I don't know who else is vaccinated. I ran into a person I know who has a whole bunch of comorbidities, and I asked that person if they were vaccinated, and they answered, no, and I'm not going to be either. It's just too risky. No, it isn't. And my response was, well, you know, my partner is immunocompromised, and it probably kill her, and I'm probably compromised. I've got comorbidities, I know. might kill me. I said, but, you know, in the final analysis, it's not so much about me. It's not about me. The mask won't necessarily protect me. But if you're like me, and I admit I'm probably oversensitive about this, I don't even like to kill animals that I hit. I don't even like to hit animals and kill them with my car. I mean, I'll jump on the brakes to keep from hitting little Sally Squirrel and really try not to hit, you know, Donna the Deer. Oh, we were driving today, Agnes and I, and she said, look up there. And, you know, we're in the car and it's noisy, you know, engine, and but still, she whispered, look up there. And lo and behold, up there was a beautiful, beautiful deer. If you can muster up a, I mean, they are beautiful in their own right. You don't think so kindly of them when they eat your garden. But they're beautiful. And we crept slowly up because, you know, where there's one, there's usually two. And the one you're looking at won't be the one that you hit or that jumps out in front of you. But it was a back road and there was nobody behind us. So I rolled my window down. Deer was on my side of the road. Agnes took a lovely photograph. And we sat and gave the deer a good talking to. You got to stay out of the road. You just have to. Hunting season's over, so you're safe until the week before Thanksgiving. Well, no. You're safe till bow season. But you got to stay out of the road. There's people here from all over the place, and they're not used to having deer dancing in the road. Now, go on. And the funny thing is, they'll flick that little white tail up when they're nervous. She never did. She stood and listened. We don't speak deer. But I try not to. Twice now, I've hit a rabbit on Easter Sunday. And it just, don't like it. And so, ultimately, I could not stand the idea that my carelessness or my ignorance might have transmitted the Rona to someone and killed them. Because, you see, that's happened all over the United States of America. Have we gotten to 600,000 dead yet? It sure did slow down a bunch once we got rid of COVID Caligula. But for 600,000 people who died, and we don't talk about it, you don't hear about this so much on the for-profit media. But it's a fact that of the dead, not just in this nation, but the world over, you know, I mentioned, you know, COVID-positive bodies are washing up out of the Ganges River in India because there was simply no way to deal with all the dead. And no matter what country, anywhere on the great globe round, with the possible exception of the very, very first people to get this virus, who probably got it from some critter that the species mutated and jumped from to a human being,
with the exception of that person, patient zero, if you will, someone killed every single victim of COVID-19 in the world. Someone passed their viral particle load to that person, and then they died. Horribly, I might add. Someone killed John Prine. I think of John Prine because he was one of the early ones to pass. And what a loss. Someone gave it to COVID Caligula. Someone gave it to melanoma. Someone gave it to Melanie's son. And in a way, that's the nature of infectious disease. And it's, for the most part, I mean, except for the people who, well, like the woman who got sentenced to 30 days in jail for deliberately coughing on a cancer victim, or a cancer patient. But it was just, in many instances, willful, wanton, reckless, grossly negligent conduct, which in other circumstances is often referred to as manslaughter. I mean, the idea occurred to me, and it just blew my mind, that for every person who has died of COVID-19, there is someone out there, perhaps now dead themselves, but every likelihood that they're still alive. Someone out there killed them. We, by virtue of how poorly we responded to this pandemic, have become, if we weren't already, a nation of killers. Granny killers. Grandpa killers. Elderly veteran killers. 40-something Broadway star killers. And that's, When you see someone and I ain't going to wear a mask, I ain't going to get the vaccine. Oh, so you're okay with killing someone? Well, I ain't going to. How do you know? Because I ain't. Because Jesus. Uh-uh. Don't work like that. And so in a place like, Talabama has a, I think, 28.9% vaccination rate. Now, I don't have the statistics to work out the margin of error or anything, but I'm pretty sure that that means that close to 70% of the people in Alabama are willful killers. Now, I mean, if you walk into Wally World, packing heat down in, say, well, I don't know, Arab, Alabama, or Wetumpka, or Utah, or Enterprise.
If you refuse to get the vaccine because you're no. Refusing to get the vaccine is the same moral equivalent as, you know, when you strap on your freedom protector to go to Wally World. You are telling the world that you, by God, are ready to kill. And so you've got close to 70% of Alabamians ready, willing, and able to kill. Now, if it was 28.9, that means 71.1% unvaccinated. At this point in time, I have a hard time thinking that that's because of vaccine unavailability. Some percentage would be. Some of that number would be people who have already had it, survived it, and think that they are now forever immune to it. They're wrong. One of the better pieces of news I saw across my screen today, my feed, was that there is evidence now that the I think Pfizer and Moderna vaccines respond well in the presence of the Indian variant. It's helpful. But once in a place, and I used Alabama just because I saw the number. Once you factor out the people who've already had it and think they don't need it, and once you factor out the people who legitimately, for some particular health reason, can't get it, and that number is already extremely low, then you come up with a number that is, well, there's no other way to describe it than to say that those people are ready, willing, and able killers. And so, among other things, President Biden did today warn that the case numbers for coronavirus could start going up again in states that have low vaccination rates, like Alabama. That statement came as we passed a bit of a positive milestone. Insofar as since the pandemic began over a year ago, COVID-19 cases are down in all 50 states. But he warned that they can go up again if people don't get vaccinated. This was all during a press conference at the White House today. President Biden said, we know there will be advances and setbacks, and we know that there are many flare-ups that could occur. But if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If numbers go up, it will be a needless tragedy when COVID cases start going up among the people who have thus far refused to get the vaccine. Trying to put as positive a light on it as possible, he said, I want to thank the American people who have stepped up and done their patriotic duty and gotten vaccinated. Their goal is to see 70% of U.S. adults get at least one dose, and for 160 million adults to be fully vaccinated by July the 4th. Nationwide, we are at 59.7% of U.S. adults. but it is not evenly distributed across the country. About 121 million American adults, named 47, oddly enough, 47%, remember that, Bishop Willard, of American adults are fully vaccinated, that according to the Centers for Disease Control. The most highly vaccinated states are New Hampshire, oddly enough, New Mexico, Maine, Connecticut, yay, Darlene, and Massachusetts. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Terry. Hey, Kitty. Hey, Carl. They're getting it right. Then on the other end, there's Talabama. And you know that on Thursday, the somewhat confusing face mask stuff came out. And folks who are fully vaccinated and have, you know, developed maximum resistance, you know, the 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Well, they don't got to wear their masks no more, according to the CDC. But that just means that the freaks... Well, I got a vaccine. And you can't ask for their, you know, vaccine passport. And so they will, again, happily be willing killers. And you know, I hope the numbers don't go back up. But I fully expect that they very likely will. Especially in places like Talabama. And to the extent that I still have a lot of good progressive friends down there, makes me extremely sad. And by the way, Darlene says, and I'm happy to report that I got my second Fauci-ouchie this afternoon, and I felt great about it. And I am loving saying that I will be immune by June. That's good. That stated, I feel the CDC jumped the mask and confused things. Sorry, but I feel the CDC director did cave to the likes of Republican freaks like Susan Collins. I'll continue to wear mine. But I encountered others today that feel they're all set because they're vaccinated. Although one of those individuals who is big into baseball did admit that the 8 Yankee players who were vaccinated with J&J and are now positive with COVID but asymptomatic did give him pause. Of course, he's a big Red Sox fan. Jesus. Then there's Bill Maher. This, says Darlene, is far from over. Yeah, see, we could... We hope, depending on how the vaccine behaves, we could make it so that this thing can't flare up again. But everybody has to do their part, and we live in a country that is poisoned by various and sundry forms of freedom-loving conservatism and libertarianism. I ain't gonna take no vaccine. I don't care about anybody but me. I done lifted myself up. I done lifted myself up by my own brute straps and I don't need no shot. I ain't gonna get it anyway. It's just like the flu anyhow. It ain't no big deal. And so, as Darlene says, this is far from over. And we're trying to do the decent thing and ship out some millions, tens of millions of additional vaccines to other countries. I hope it will. I wonder in other countries being ravaged by it, I wonder if people will
line up for it. And I wonder if people like, I don't know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will say, see there, they're sheeple. Ugh. I know. COVID data USA. May 16th, 2021, deaths 291. 7-day average 610. $586,000 deaths thus far. Thank you, Jeremy. Oh, and going back to the mayor of Oklahoma, Stan, Steve in New York said, Joe Biden's confiscation of Chick-fil-A sauce. I have officially given up. I will be heading into my hole in the ground. Best of luck, everyone. I understand. Jesus. The note coming in from Dave number 11. Going back to passing the cost along to the rubes. The term, sister, is market adjustment. Northern California gets zero crude to customize into our precious California gasoline. Your gas isn't good enough for us Uber polluters. Nonetheless, fuel went up 90 cents a gallon overnight on rumors that others will raise their fuel prices 1,500 miles away. It's like my internet. I pay a $50 surcharge every month because of the lack of competition here. It's so I can help Sudden Stink Communications compete in other areas where there are other streaming services. The funniest part is just across the border in Oregon. Gasoline's $1 a gallon cheaper in Oregon due to the fact that Oregon isn't so quick to make consumers pay through the nose for basic needs. Yeah. As to Bill Maher, Steve in New York says, we have to realize something. The goddess of irony has his number, so he's got a lot going against him. True. New York City vaccination, Steve notes, we've actually been doing pretty well here. Our R0 is about 0.7. Our infection rate, positive tests, total tests, is, other than Staten Island, about 1. And the lesson is, vaccines work. The other lesson is, Staten Island is covered up in mask-hole covidiots. Because it's a mostly Republican district. I may be one of the sheeple, so Steve adds. I'm one of the still-living sheeple. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy reminding us, but COVID is really just the flu. I mean, we don't talk about it because of the liberal media and Bill Gates is just looking to make all of America pay their activation fees for their shots. Wake up, sheeple! I know. Yeah, I have heard cases of people getting their shots and suddenly walking away from Linux Apple OS X or whatever, and suddenly feeling a terrible urge to do all their computing on a Windows 10 machine. Scary. The horror. Oh, and I meant to. If you go over to my Facebook page, I have yesterday I posted the segment that ran on CBS Sunday Morning about where I live becoming a national park. And I offered some cursory observations, namely that they repeated it a couple of times during the CBS segment that the New River Gorge National Park is within a day's drive of half the population of the United States. That's a little terrifying. And I joked, you know, y'all take turns. Don't y'all all come at once. We ain't got enough cabins for you.
But I think part of the reason, and of course, they played Take Me Home Country Roads, and they showed a segment of the New River just as John Denver was singing Shenandoah River.
No singing!
And of course, there's just not a hell of a lot of the Shenandoah River that runs through West Virginia. Because it's in Virginia. Because the people who wrote Take Me Home Country Roads had never been further than Berkeley Springs. Just have a complicated relationship with that song. If I'm away from here and I hear that song, it'll put tears in my eyes and raise up the little hairs on the back of my neck. Because the lyric really is compelling if you don't know anything about West Virginia. But there's a portion of the lyric that applies to anybody from anywhere who is away from home. I hear her voice. In the morning hours, she calls me. The radio reminds me of my home far away. And driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. And then it goes back into the chorus. Country roads take me home. So they opened with that, of course, and there was a lot of stirring, stunning footage of this place where I live. And like I said, I think we became a national park because of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park is the most visited national park in the United States. And those are some fantastic mountains. Beautiful portion of Appalachia. But in addition to being the most visited national park in the United States, it is also the most polluted. And it is also the most, in its origins, was the most poorly managed. And that's how you wind up with tourist hellholes like Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. And so, you know, here we have, I think if you take them all together, we might have 5 hotels. And we ain't ready for this. The McMansions are going up on the rim of the gorge. Stuff that would cost double-digit millions going for, you know, $750,000. I mean, we're a real bargain. And people are coming in from elsewhere to partake in our natural beauty. But of course, any time that something like this happens, capitalists start trying to figure out a way to fuck it all up. Because money. And so we are sadly lacking in infrastructure. We're sadly lacking in housing. The people who make this tourist economy go have the devil's own time trying to find a place to live. Because real estate prices in and around Fayetteville have already gone crazy. And a lot of people, you know, they're working in what is, for all intents and purposes, a gig economy. You know, Darlene and I talked about that some. Because, you know, the season runs from basically March to late October. And then November, December, January, and February, you're on your own. And all of that's going to have to be addressed. And the question is whether it will be and whether it'll go where it needs to go. But it's a nice little package. the CBS piece, and if you want to see it, it's over on my Facebook page. Steve in New York, Shenandoah River, Country Roads. Yeah, fucking hillbilly elitist. Well, what do you want? It's not like, I mean, I tell you I am. Randy Radar pointing out almost moonscape West Virginia. Well, there's way too much West Virginia that is that. Billable Rick. Robin, stop putting down John Denver's beautiful song about West Virginia. Well, I'm not. I'm just mentioning the fact that there's not much West Virginia in it. I'm still trying to figure out what stranger to blue water means. I guess that refers to the fact that we're a landlocked state. And, well, we'll say that's part of tomorrow, but I've done seen seashells in the rocks when I was down in the mines, and we ain't nowhere near the beach. No shit, Sherlock. We're landlocked. Ooh, Sherlock and landlocked? Mm-hmm. WBCTGS, Steve says, it's worse than capitalists. They're speculators. And we know a little bit about that here, too. In fact, let me see if I can find it. I don't think there's any rights issues, because I wrote the damn lyrics. I haven't played this in a long time. Long time ago. And it may have just... Let me try again. It's out there somewhere. Maybe I'll find it. Like I said, it's been a long, long time. Well, thank you, Billable. Give yourself a cowbell. No shit, Sherlock, we're landlocked. Well, thank you. Okay, my hand's up, says Lamar the Magnificent. Between being a lemming and a sheeple, yeah, I get that. Sure. Since you mentioned bootstraps, Jeremy says, has the master of bootstraps, I mean, he had a dungeon where he kept his property as the Rubes knew her, his many wives, but has Rush been able to pull his hefty self up out of his eternal bed yet with his bootstraps to get back on the air? Because, God, he's missed. No, as a matter of fact, on this 17th day of May, 2021, I have the dubious pleasure of noting that Flush Flimball, America's truth detector, is still dead. Oh, Matt in San Francisco says, I've heard that after receiving the Gates vaccine, some men have found themselves pursuing their female employees in the misguided hope of romance. Ooh, that's quality. Thank God I transitioned before I got my vaccine. That's all I can say about that. Now I get it. Now it makes sense, says Steve in New York. I walked through the airport security, and after scanning, it registered $1.99. I find myself sort of yearning for the next big update from Microsoft. I caught myself trying to put a USB plug into the side of my neck the other day, and it just, nope, didn't go. Well, girl can dream. But to get back to more of the morons. I've never heard of this clown before, but apparently there's a Jasper out there by the name of Christopher Rufo. Oh, wait, before we go to Christopher Rufo, Darlene says, the class 4 and class 5 rapids there in your neck of the woods are epic. You're going to get inundated, pun not intended. Sadly, the state was too hyped up on the mono economy. Can the Biden administration do something to ensure the people of West Virginia actually benefit and can thrive economically from this? Or will this be like Naomi Klein's the shock doctrine in the inverse? I think there's a good chance of the latter being the case. And I actually thought about the behavior of Joe Manchin when I saw that package yesterday. I wonder if maybe the price of his, and I wouldn't complain too much if this is in fact the case. I wonder if the price of his cooperation on the infrastructure bill is a really huge whopping load of money for West Virginia. Of course, it'll only go to people who are deemed to be deserving of such. But to bring in a load of money like that would be truly Byrdian. And, but when I've passed through Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, and God, do I not want this place to be that. Darlene says, you know, that we're too hyped up on the mono economy. That, of course, is coal. And it's, you know, well, this is kind of a different sort of mono economy. And I was even sitting there thinking about the park, and, well, you know, at least they can't come in and blow up the mountain. Really? No. Even national parks aren't safe, as has been proven to us time and time again when Republicans get into office. But in the times that Agnes and I have been driving around, of late, we look around, and I've been doing this a lot lately. Every time I cross the bridge, I'm trying to keep my eyes on the road. But I do. I look back. I look to each side, and I think, man. Just everybody doesn't get to see this every day of their lives. And they don't get to live on the rim of 300 million or more years of the changing face of the earth and walk trails that traveled to a seabed and never even get your feet wet. I love this place, but I'm scared for this place. Mountaintop removal was awful. It still is awful. And millions of pounds of high explosives detonated every day kill, what, 1,000 West Virginians a year? But there are other kinds of damage. And as much as I've said in the past, you know, sure would like to have a Popeyes, I wonder now if I really want that. Be kind of nice if we could have a Crystal. I wonder now if I really want that. It's going to be kind of weird. I hope I get to see it happen, and I'd like above all to see it not be for the worse. And that's why I suggested to some friends that this might be a good time to go and watch, well, one of my favorite 80s movies. My favorite 70s comedy, well, one of them is The In-Laws. But when you get to the 80s and Local Hero, Peter Riegert, Peter Capaldi, Burt Lancaster, it's so gentle. And it could have taken a completely different tone, that film. But it's so gentle and so sweet. But it carries such a whopper of a message. If you've never seen it, I won't ruin it for you. It's worth the rental. Let's just put it that way. But anyway, back to Christopher Rufo. And this comes from that miserable right-wing birdcage liner, The Washington Examiner. Headline, the typist who put this together, his name is Quinn Hillier. Joe Biden's racist Marxist education rule must be killed. The public has two more days to make comments against a proposed rule by the Biden administration that would promote the execrable critical race theory in public schools. It is legally suspect, this rule, and morally monstrous. It's a neo-Marxist ideology. It espouses overt racism in the name of anti-racism. You know, that's that reverse racism that delicate white snowflakes are forever pissing and moaning about, and which, you know, doesn't fucking exist. It can't exist. It's impossible for it to exist. It teaches that racial identity is at the center of modern life and that the U.S. was founded on and remains a pernicious embodiment of racism, its very soul. Supposedly is imbued with racism. Well, I mean, that's only because it is. I mean, if the soul of the nation is manifested, say, in the Constitution of the United States, the three-fifths clause will do it. Yep, that's racism, and it's imbued. And, this laughable piece of typing cites some dude named Christopher Rufo, who's written about some of them. The manifestations of critical race theory already in left-wing public school systems. Manifestations of CRT. Wait a minute. I first read that and I was like, wait a minute. Is this about computer monitors? What? No. Oh, critical race theory. There was in Philadelphia, there was an elementary school that forced fifth graders to celebrate black communism and simulate a black power rally to free 1960s radical Angela Davis from prison, where she had once been held on charges of murder. Oh, for God's sakes, the breathlessness, the pearl clutching, the hand wringing. In Seattle, the school district told white teachers that they are guilty of spirit murder against black children and must bankrupt their privilege in acknowledgement of their thieved inheritance. Rufo has cataloged 1,000 examples in his breathless bullshit. Biden's appointees at the Department of Education have proposed a rule making critical race theory an essential part of federal grant awards for several American history and civics education programs. Oh, no. In other words, we're going to actually teach the real no-kidding history of the United States of America. Not the sanitized version, the whites-only version, not that. And then goes on to name Ibrahim X. Kendi, refer to him as a huckster, and his work as malevolent. The rule also cites the New York Times' widely discredited 1619 Project. No, it's not exactly widely discredited. It's not discredited at all. What it is not liked
by, again, the dainty, delicate white snowflakes of the Trump MAGA GQP.
It emphasizes division instead of unity, race-centric consciousness instead of Martin Luther King's ideal of colorblindness and economic equity, rather than equality before the law. Well, economic equity and equality before the law are two different goddamn things. And once again, further proof of what I always say, that when it comes to white wingers, the only thing they know about Martin Luther King Jr. was that he once said that people should be judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Jesus. Biden's proposed rule, you know, because he was sitting there, Joe Biden. Yeah, let's see, I'm going to write a rule. That was my Reagan voice. I apologize. But you'll notice that Biden's proposed rule would clearly violate the law by prescribing a curriculum. Because under the rule, programs securing the grants must take into account, this is a quote, must, dot, 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 one wonders what's in the ellipsis, take into account systemic marginalization, biases, inequities, and discriminatory policy and practice in American history, citing Kendi's garbage ideas. Ibrahim X. Kendi is not, I mean, I've read his stuff. It ain't garbage. It's painful. It's quite painful, really, in some aspects. Because it calls on people to reflect on what this country has really done. You know, it's kind of like Kevin Stitt getting bounced off the Tulsa Massacre Commission. Because trying to say that it didn't happen or somehow somebody deserved it, that doesn't lead to an understanding and a healing. But why should I be surprised? It's coming out of a, like I said, a right-wing birdcage liner, the Washington Examiner. But my God, they sure do get worked up, don't they? And by the way, we're halfway through the program. We are at the halfway mark now. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, you're more than welcome. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype or the Stress Line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And while that Quinn Doofus or Doofus Quinn or Harley Quinn, I don't know, is writing about how morally repugnant the 1619 Project and critical race theory are, when all we're talking about is the actual history of this country, there is something morally repugnant coming. It's entirely possible that, I mean, I didn't know it until I dug into it. But there's a Mississippi abortion law that has been banging around the Supreme Court for about a year that it appears the court is ready. Well, it not appears. They announced today they're going to take this case up. It is Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. And some experts are saying it's going to be the biggest abortion case in over a generation. The Mississippi Stan legislature passed this odious, onerous piece of legislative crap in 2018, and Judge Carlton W. Reeves of the Federal District Court in Jackson, Mississippi, almost immediately blocked the law and said, he didn't mince words. The state chose to pass a law it knew was unconstitutional to endorse a decades-long campaign fueled by national interest groups to ask the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. This court follows the commands of the Supreme Court and the dictates of the United States Constitution rather than the disingenuous calculations of the Mississippi legislature. And like I said, the court, it's been laying around since 2020 or so, and they couldn't quite get it into the court because there's no split in the circuits. All the circuits agree that this piece of shit legislation is unconstitutional as fuck. There is no legal issue. But now, today, old Balls and Strikes Roberts and Sammy Bad Breath Alito and Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas and Ann's Boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer, paid off mortgages and little passed out drunk teenagers. And of course, Justice Handmaid, Amy Covid Barrett. Well, they got their votes, and they're gonna hear the case. They're gonna decide the case. And it's a shitty law. From Roe v. Wade forward, through Planned Parenthood versus Casey et al., there has not been a question about whether a state can ban abortion at 15 weeks or earlier. There's no legal issue. And there hasn't been. And under the principle of stare decisis, which the court claims to follow but doesn't, if they're white wingers and see a reason to get rid of it, well, that's what this Mississippi law does. And so within the next year, it is reasonable to assume that all, at least part, and indeed all, of Roe v. Wade may be stricken. This Supreme Court that is made up of a majority of right-wing ideologues who owe their positions on the court to a decades, nay, generation-long multi-million-dollar funded campaign to put these wild-eyed extremists on the court. Well, the reason that they were put there is now upon us. And so, it'll be argued and decided probably this year. And given the numbers that they have, it is not unreasonable to think that we will see the end of a woman's right to choose in a vast, well, not a vast, but in a majority of states. It's entirely possible that you'll be able to travel across most of the southern United States, starting in, say, Arizona, Stan, and go all the way to the East Coast without ever crossing a state where a woman has the right to make her own decision about whether or not to carry a pregnancy to term, and when that day comes, we will be no better than any of the countries that we once looked down on as barbaric, uncivilized, and backward. And yet it is a constitutional right that this gang of jurisprudential thugs are more than ready and happy to take away. And I'm trying to figure what women will do and the men who are their allies. Because a woman's right to choose cuts across gender lines. It cuts across ethnic lines. It cuts across economic lines. Oh, sure. So, you know, how does a woman lacking monetary means in the benighted backwoods of Mississippistan, how does she get to, say, civilization in Massachusetts? And once the and once these states have gotten their way in this regard, what's to stop them from passing a law that says that any woman who goes out of state to have an abortion is guilty of murder? Because that kind of shit's already been introduced in legislatures all over the United States. What happens after that? Well, I know how I feel about it. And it might be beneficial. It might be beneficial to let these thugs know, or to at least remind them, that when one starts taking away constitutional rights, it becomes quite easy to take away another one. Take away a woman's right to choose? How about we take away your right to own guns that you shouldn't have in the first place, because that's not what the Second Amendment means. Right? How about taking away the tax exemption for the religion industry? If you can take away one, you can take away all. And you know what? You can cite it. You can cite it in your Supreme Court brief. Well, you know, y'all said you can take away one constitutional right. If you can take away one, you can take away a bunch more. Next! But it's coming. It will be a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. And they've got the goddamn votes. You know why they've got the goddamn votes? Because Harry Reid committed an act of constitutional malfeasance relative to the nomination of Merrick Garland. And because there was no way to stop via the filibuster the elevation of maniacs to the court. And that's fact. But there's another aspect. And with this announcement today, I think, you know, because strategery. But it seems more and more obvious today that somebody, someone in the House of Representatives should introduce articles of impeachment against Justice Handmaid Amy Coney Barrett, against Brett Kavanaugh, and certainly against Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas, and maybe even old Balls and Strikes John Roberts. This is one of those moments, you know, Stephen New York talks about how we're not very good at messaging. Well, this is one of those moments where it's not just the messaging, but the action. I mean, I'll go back to an issue that I've talked about in the past. Why? Why? We have had the House since January of 2019. Why? And I go looking for it every now and then. I don't find it. If the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department finds it, I will happily correct myself. Why is there still no constitutional amendment to get the hell rid of the Electoral College? Even if it's symbolic, why has that amendment not been filed by one of these people that's constantly being referred to as a radical? Where is it? Or is it because they're afraid that they'll be called radical again? There's an actual member of the House of Representatives who is, she and her staff are stalking and chasing other members of the House. Nothing happens to her. And she's as radical as they come. And we can't even introduce articles of impeachment against people who fucking perjured themselves in their confirmation hearings? We've got two accused sexual predators on the Supreme Court of the United States, and nobody will file articles of impeachment against either one of those men? I would humbly like to know why. Really, why? Are we afraid of the fight? Are we afraid of the backlash? Are we afraid that Americans don't care? Ian Millhiser took to Twitter, and he's written a couple of books on the Supreme Court, Nine Wise Souls, and said this case is the biggest threat to abortion rights to arise since Amy Coney Barrett. But hey, here's a thought. Not that this is any kind of silver lining, it is not. But if they get rid of Roe v. Wade, does that mean the evangelicals will crawl back behind their back behind the baseboards that they climb out of to go and vote to protect the precious little fetuses? This decision may be held among the yearlings for the multi-billion-dollar uterus control industry. You think in the halls of power, where these cynical assholes play, these PACs and lobby groups that house all these fetus fetishists, you think that when the news broke today, they went, "Oh shit, we didn't mean for them to actually fucking do it. They're gonna ruin our racket.
We got a good thing going on here. The fuck?
Gotta wonder. Gotta wonder. All right, so here we are. 10 minutes away from the third hour of the program. We still haven't even met Joey and Giraffe's $10 challenge. Trying to get us down to $710 to go. Get us down under 700 so that tomorrow we won't be over 1,000. Makes my liver quiver. Still waiting to get the car back. That's not a good sign. My mechanic was supposed to call today when he got the new calipers installed. Nothing yet. But, you know, this is what happens when... I mean, this is what happens on our side. We don't have $55 million opiate addicts opining on the news of the day and explaining that everything is hunky-dory except for those people. Oh, maybe I'm just not getting notifications. Okay, let me check. Maybe I'm wrong. Thank you, Jeremy, for letting me know. Jeremy met the challenge. Jeremy with a note saying, here's $10 to cover the challenge, and please someone else cover it. I already did. A proactive prepaid $10 challenge. Please someone cover it. I already did. So we are now down to $700. Thank you, Jeremy. I don't know what's going on with PayPal. But thank you indeed. It would be great if we could finish last week. Hope. And we've got someone on the stress line. Let me check and see. Stand by. Reggie's with us. Hey, Reggie.
Yeah. How you doing, Robin?
Pretty good. It was gray and gloomy here today, but I'm trying to perk up.
It was a beautiful, warm, sunny day out here in McKinney, Georgia, where I'm at. And I hope that AOC doesn't take this Stalking thing lightly. She needs security. I guess she already have them.
I don't know how much she has. But I hope she has. I hope she's getting more.
Yeah.
That horrible thing from northwest Georgia is an actual no kidding threat to her life.
Yeah, she has a psychotic fixation / obsession with her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's dangerous. It's deadly if you let it get out of hand and control. Right, Robin?
I just hope
she doesn't take this too lightly. She can't. A young woman in her position can't do that, Robin. Right?
I think her life is constantly at hazard.
Yeah, well. That's why you need to hear
this is not the backslapping, glad-handing America that once existed.
Right. Well, again, she and people in her positions of power need full-blown security. I don't care if they're armed or not. What say you, Robin?
I think you're absolutely right, because, among other things, now we know that this was news out today. There was a new court filing in one of the cases against one of the attackers of the Capitol on January the 6th. That representative from Georgia, Clyde, whatever his name is, the doofus that said they were more like tourists. Well, it turns out there's a photo that shows representing Clyde trying to cram a desk up against the door of the House chamber to keep the tourists out.
Right.
But now, now it turns out that the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a new indictment to supersede the old indictment against a critter by the name of Christopher Alberts. And Christopher Alberts, the reason they filed the new indictment was because he carried a Taurus G2C, I know this weapon, semi-automatic pistol, into the Congress of the United States on the day of the insurrection and the attack on the Capitol. So I don't want to hear any more of this bullshit. And I don't mean from you. I mean, you're not saying it, but I don't want to hear any more of this. They were tourists horse shit.
Right. But
they were at war.
Right.
And that dude carrying a gun into the Capitol, that is levying war against the United States of America, and that is damned well treason, and he ought to be charged with it, but of course he won't, because that would make, that would give the maggots a sad.
Right. Isn't that highly illegal, Robin?
Yes.
Isn't that very highly illegal?
Oh, it's 50 shades of illegal.
Right. Right. Yes, it is. And like you said, he should be prosecuted within the fullest extent of the law and in prison, and his weapons, all of them, taken away from him. Never to be returned to him ever again for as long as he
lives. The bars should clang shut behind him and never open again. Ever.
Right. They should throw away the key, so to speak. Right,
yeah.
Robin?
Yeah, under the jail.
Right. He can't get his hands on it. He can't get his hands on it.
I mean, they brought bear spray. They brought other chemical weapons. They brought they used fire extinguishers as weapons. They brought knives. They brought clubs. They brought hockey sticks and baseball bats, for God's sakes.
Right. And what about AOC and Speaker Nancy Pelosi were there once that day? That exact day.
Well, they came to kill him.
Right. Right. We got to put all these guys in prison, the ones who was there, the ones who participated in this January 6th Capitol storm riot. We got to put them all in jail. Like, made the bars slam behind them and never to open up again. We should never ever see the light of day again as long as they live. Like, Robin, am I wrong and crazy?
No, I think we just agreed on that.
Right. Well, and I also heard that you went off on your number one fan favorite guilty morning guilty habit, Joe Scarborough, when he was talking about Trump again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard it after you got off the phone with me last week.
What are we? I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Well, Joe Scarborough was talking about Trump again, Trump running again.
Mm-hmm.
And you played it on your show, and you were like, basically, you were saying is that this is jack-off material for him and his submissive ass wife, Nikki, who just went along to get along. You know what I'm talking about, Rob?
Yeah, I do.
You know, like you said, they're doing this for clicks and ratings.
Yeah.
Why can't he just get off of it, man? Why can't he just get off of it? You said, Rob, the one thing... Go ahead.
No, you got... But I guess it's good clicks.
Yeah. Like you said, Robin, the number one thing that he should never fuck with is a producer. And they could fuck his and his wife's career up, couldn't they?
No, they can fuck with you. But they wouldn't have a job the next day. And it's probably, I mean, except for the having to get up at some crazy ass hour of the morning, it's probably a pretty good gig.
What? Them not having a job or Joe and his wife not having. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, why do they have to talk about him and not much else? Don't you know that there are other important things, equally or more important things going on?
Well, I mean, I was actually pleased. Pleased is not the right word, but at least they devoted a substantial amount of time this morning to talking about the slaughter of Palestine. Now, they did they did the fair and balanced thing, and they brought on an ambassador from, the Palestinian Authority, and then they brought on the mouthpiece for Netanyahu.
Right.
And you would have thought the two men were talking about completely different places.
Right.
But right. But the thing is, there's a tell in that, because it wasn't just the blind defense of anything Israel wants to do that you would have gotten in this country even 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Even the Jewish population of the United States, many, many people are fed up with Netanyahu's behavior and basically trashing the reputation of Israel to the point that to the point that it's becoming so obvious that you can't avoid it.
Right, Robin. But do you think they'll keep that up and talking about things like or such as that, like they did today early this morning? Or do you think they'll go back to talking about, or should I say obsessing about Trump rather? Do you think they'll keep that up?
He's always going to be good for he's always going to be good for a laugh or for, because you can, and I mean, I recognize it. You can get all worked up because everything he says is so evil and so outrageous.
Right. But I don't want them to get their blood pressures up on high, you know? You know?
Yep.
But he's barely worth a mention now, isn't it, Robin? Because nobody else.
Reggie, he bears mentioning because he remains an existential threat to the continued existence of the United States.
Right. What, no,
there's nothing in it. No. Well, Reggie, it sounds like you got stuff you got to do, so. We will talk soon, but I appreciate the call. You take care, all right? Sound like Reggie got called away. The stack is deep this evening. And some of these things, you read them and you're like, no, please, really, no. This is creepy. Via MSNBC and a reporter for the Washington Post by the name of Carol Leonic, a report that the Secret Service, in terms of its funding for its central mission, which is to protect the life of the President of the United States. Well, during the four nightmare years of the misadministration, maladministration of Nitwit Nero, the Secret Service was stretched past thin. And in fact, there have been recent stories about how Trader Tot, Don Jr.'s ex-wife, eventually got around to having a fling with a Secret Service agent. Well, that seems dodgy as shit, doesn't it? But now, according to this report, Secret Service apparently, in Ms. Leonic's book, she says that Tiffania Trump and Vanessa, the ex-daughter-in-law, got, quote, inappropriately close to their Secret Service detachment. Okay, that's kind of gross. No, that's real gross. But what we're finding out is that, among other things, just like everybody else, there are Secret Service agents who have Facebook groups. And some Secret Service agents were grunting and barking and hooting about how Biden didn't really get elected. It was Trump. And some Secret Service agents referred to the people who attacked the Capitol like the asshole with the semi-automatic handgun as patriots. This was some chilling shit. But the Secret Service is so cash-strapped and so drained, because remember, the 4 years of the maladministration of Nitwit Nero was nothing but a wealth transfer from the federal government to his coffers, because every time he stayed at Mar-a-Lago, Mar-a-Lardass, the Secret Service had to pay rates. Remember the story about the Secret Service having to stay at his stupid properties in what is it, Scotland? Yeah. And he drained the Secret Service budget. And so there are people who fear that the Secret Service is incapable at present of actually protecting the life of President Biden. And I don't know about you, but I find that chilling. I mean, we know, for instance, there were more threats against Barack Obama's life than any other president in history. The same cannot be said of Trump, because our side doesn't run around, for the most part, grunting and barking and hooting and shrieking about killing politicians. But now, in the wake of January 6th, now, 5 months later, with way too many people in the United States thinking that it wasn't real, this is frightening. And if you even stop and think, it is almost an unthinkable horror, the assassination of a president, Republican or Democrat. Remember, I mean, yeah, somebody squeezed off a round at old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. But he wasn't some wild-eyed Democrat doing it for political purposes. He was insane and obsessed with Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver. Huh? But even as they were wheeling him into the operating room, that greasy-headed old B-movie actor couldn't resist the politicization of the moment. Remember the story? How he looked at his surgeon who was about to try to save his miserable life and said, "Well, Mommy, I certainly hope he's a Republican." And his surgeon, pure class, said, "Well, Mr. President, I think we're all Republicans today. As time goes by, how many elements of government are we going to find that these grifters and grafters and footpads and cut purses and highwaymen and thugs and punks and lickspittles broke or robbed blind? You know, this just doesn't strike me as accidental. They meant to break government. And I don't know why they would deny it, but the Biden administration is denying having asked for an entirely different set of Secret Service agents from the ones who protected Nitwit Nero. Would we hold that against him? I mean, do you remember far back enough? Because I know I do. Do you remember when Barack Obama was coming into office in 2009? And we found out that there were members of the Secret Service who had been circulating racist jokes about the incoming president? How willing is a white supremacist racist Secret Service agent actually going to be in terms of taking a bullet for the president of the United States? Because I'm guessing none too many. I saw that clip, and it gave me the chills and the horrors. As to the insurrectionists, time and time again, Jeremy in Vermont says, we need to hang all these fucks, including these half-assed Secret Service Trump lovers, as badly as we should have ever, as much as we should have every last Confederate general, but we won't because maggots will have us sad. Yeah. I know, Jeremy. I don't know that hanging is in order. But felony murder should be. Even if you take Officer Sicknick out of the mix, other people died, and they were while these freaks were committing a felony. But I guess you don't even need that. Let the prosecutions go forward and hope that we've got judges. And you got to wonder how the maggot judges will rule, because there's too many of them, thanks to Moscow Mitch. Let those cases go forward. And I hate relying on hope, but I damn sure do hope that somewhere someone is delving deeply into how the damned attack came into being, and that we follow it all the way to its to the head of the fish. You know, the fish rots from the head. And prosecute everyone who made that damn thing happen, including the funders, including Alex Jones, or that loopy woman from the heiress to the Publix grocery store fortune. Root and branch. Note coming in from Barbara. If laws can be based on religious beliefs rather than science, then what would stop them from rescinding the Emancipation, the 13th Amendment? Because there are evangelicals who believe that black people were doomed by God and the Bible to serve white people. I'm talking about all that Children of Ham bullshit. I don't want to hear that most people don't believe that myth, because most people believe in a woman's right to choose, and that doesn't seem to matter. And 45's cult would love to become modern-day enslavers, I believe. Well, yeah. After all, they believe that there were a lot of happy enslaved people out there, just, you know, out there chopping cotton and singing. Any amendment can be repealed. It took a constitutional amendment to impose prohibition on this country. And then the Congress acted with alacrity in repealing that constitutional amendment. It seems unthinkable that something like that would ever happen, but you know what? It wasn't a constitutional amendment. We passed the Voting Rights Act. And we thought, well, this just makes sense. We want to make sure people can vote, and we want to make sure that governments can't suppress the vote. And so nobody will ever touch the Voting Rights Act. Well, preclearance has been gone for years now, and we're struggling to put it back together again. I can see a future when, you know, some fuckwit from some Heritage Foundation think tank type place would say, well, you know, we don't really need the 13th Amendment anymore because everybody's already free now. So since everybody's already free, we can just repeal it. At the same time that the 3/5 clause remains in the body of the Constitution. There are actively Republicans, maggots, white wingers, and they're mainstream. They're not lulus who argue all about how we need to get rid of the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment because of the anchor babies. Yeah. So there's that. And unfortunately, Barbara, there is precedent for your fear. Going back to Marjorie Trader gangrene cucumber for a moment. Matt in San Francisco says, in no other workplace in America would her behavior be allowed. She would either be fired or be given a first and final warning to stop and repeat said behavior, if repeated, would be fired immediately. It's HR 101, for fuck's sake. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of undue privilege that attaches to membership in the Congress as a Republican. But only as a Republican, because remember, IOKIYAR, it's okay if you're a Republican. Matt Gaetz is still in the House of Representatives, but Al Franken had to leave the Senate. Matt Gaetz was actually paying, according to the information, paying for sex with an underage girl. Al Franken was guilty of a stupid, sophomoric, but entirely no physical contact photograph. Ugh. And Flavio asks, is it true that freak Jenny Thomas was chartering buses for the event? Root and branch. Yes, it is. Or so I have read. You know, you have to do some due diligence. But Jenny Thomas has been a walking conflict of interest and a right-wing tool since before Slappy got on the court. Mm-hmm. And let me check here. Because Oh, yay. Thank you, Brian. Thank you so very kindly, Brian, for jumping in. And thank you to Pat. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Ralphs. We're actually down below $700. That's $690. And that's $670. $650. That's tremendous. So that means we're not looking at a four-digit fundraising deficit tomorrow. $650. Which means that $50 more and we'll be done with last Thursday. That's awesome. Thank you to everybody. God, you have no idea how often I sit around, you know, I wish I was just fucking rich. Could just do this and not worry about anything. But I'm a liberal. I'm progressive. That means I'm not independently wealthy. Maybe if I went out and got myself a... No, don't even joke about that. Maybe if I went to Arizona and talked to horses for a while, I could get a golden EIB microphone and just babble crazy shit for a while. That's apparently worth about, you know, a few tens of million dollars a year. Sheesh. Okay, thank you again. Thank you so much for jumping in. I can't thank you enough. And let's run over and check in on the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rudy.
You what?
I didn't tell you.
Give Trump a chance.
See, that's what I'm talking about. They got all on this.
Yeah, he had 4 years. They wouldn't give him a chance.
I done told you. Now, look here. I don't like calling this goddamn program that much because, you know, I'm up here in the upstate. Now, that poor woman, she done getting fuel for us to fire up the steel, and she done blow it up. Goddamn it, one of them revenues. Now, look here. I done told you this 5, 10 times. This here country, right here, it went on moonshine, white women, and cocaine. And it's real simple. You just connect them dots right there, son, and that's all you need to know. Because you look at it. Now, look there. I see. Don't listen. You better listen.
I'm listening.
They got more money on this earth than anybody else, them goddamn Mexican cartels. And that's fine. That's what they want to do, push their dope. That's what they doing. But look here. They got that mezcal and that tequila. That's their thing. Now, we like that now. You know, we like to Cinco de Mayo and get all drunk up and all that. But they got that good shit down there, right? So, but they ain't got no corn liquor.
Ain't got no good sour mash corn liquor. No, sir. It's like that song says. They was whiskey and bad cocaine. Poison gets you just the same. And if that don't kill you soon, the women will down to the Spanish moon.
Now you get some. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They can get, you ask Walton, we ain't giving up that recipe. They can get, now we can barter. See that? Because they got the money. They got more money than anybody on this planet.
They got more money than God. They got Elon Musk spaceship money.
Now look here. Why do people make money? So they can fuck white women. That's it. Why you need cocaine?
Just ask Bill Gates.
Now you insert there the moonshine. That's a specialty thing right there. They can't get no good corn liquor. Now they got to meet us at the table. Because once in a while, we want that good mezcal, and we can't do that. We ain't got no cactuses up here.
Oh, now, they ain't no good mezcal. That shit's Mexican gasoline. Quit that.
Now, look here, son. I done been down there trying to do business with them old greasy motherfuckers, I'm telling you right now. They ain't worth a damn. I'd rather sit up here in Pickens County and send my woman to the gas station with a plastic bag and say, woman, give me some gas. We got to fill this deal up. But I tell you right now, they can't make the corn liquor. And that's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's the damnedest thing, because they got corn. They invented it.
But you see, the Andy Gouet, I told you, they can't ask the Waltons. They ain't got the goddamn recipe. What else you need to know?
Yep. Don't do that for too long. You'll get stuck.
The ice pack is out.
Yeah, I had a note from Stephen, New York. You ain't fooling anybody, Todd. Love, Stephen, New York. And Shorty chimes in. Wait a minute, is that Todd?
Oh, shit. Oh, man. But that is just... Oh, God. So, look. You were... Look, you need to calm down a little bit, though. Seriously. Like, early on, I don't know, man. You know, calm down a little bit. You know.
Breathe.
It's not that what you're saying is not true. It's not that. That's not the issue. But, you know, how do we move forward? What's your plan?
Well, you know me. I got these highfalutin radical liberal progressive plans. You know, shit like finding somebody who would actually introduce a constitutional amendment to get the fuck rid of the Electoral College. I mean, that. Introduce, you know, I mean, fight fire with fire, but we're afraid. Introduce a piece of legislation saying, whereas the Republicans of this country think that constitutional rights are things that can just be taken away willy-nilly, since we're going to go after a woman's right to choose, be it hereby enacted by this here amendment, that we are canceling the Second Amendment while we're at it. And, of course, the downside to that, and you and I both know this, Todd, is that it would immediately generate an absolute shit hemorrhage of fundraising and hue and cry and grunting and barking and et cetera. And they'd make a fortune on how, yeah, see, the liberals want to get your guns. Fuck. And the multimillionaires of the for-profit media would go along with that shit. Because they'd play it that way instead of playing it, instead of presenting it for what it is, a perfectly rational response to an irrational act.
Okay, irrational act. This is what I'm having a problem with. This far out, the fact that we cannot get people to understand the consequence, the gravity of what happened on the 6th of January and how it is unlike anything that has happened in anyone's life. I mean, it's unfathomable what happened. And you have folks that are just, who are lawmakers. Clyde, I mean, what was Clyde? What, I mean, so that's where we are. And I'm not going to waste any time because we all saw that, I guess most of us. Then we looked like Washington Journal this morning. You see, I don't know where we are. This is, I'll tell you where we are. And I hate this. We're in what you described some years ago. We're in the Cold Civil War. And, of course, if people were paying attention, And they talked about it on that morning program this morning. But we are here to already talk about it. When you plant the Confederate flag in the Capitol,
shit's on. Matter.
That's done. That I mean, that's somebody's symbolism.
And you know, I mean, there are things that I would like to find out, you know, because there was so much chatter on the message boards before all this happened, you know, when they were engaging in their conspiracy. But just let me, you know, it would be nice, you know, when you find something, you know, I'm going to bring my Confederate flag. See if there's anybody going, dude, don't do that. That's just wrong. On the other hand, see how many go, hell yeah. By God, that'll show them. Heritage, not hate. And then, because it was planned.
Of course it was planned.
I mean, there were guys who showed up on January 6th with black T-shirts, the name Trump across it in smaller letters, and then in much bigger white letters, all caps, Civil War. How much more evidence do we need?
Look, we don't need any more. That's the whole point. And this is
they are not done yet.
No, they're not. There, are you kidding? That was a learning tool. That last episode was a learning tool.
Failed insurrections inappropriately dealt with become dress rehearsals.
Now, and I'm telling you this under good authority. There are groups of people who are migrating to sympathetic areas where they can coalesce and get a voting block subscribing to this type of thing. You know, because they fundamentally want to change.
Oh, damn it. You there, Todd?
And think about what I'm saying. I'm telling you for a fact, this is happening. People who have the means, they are doing this. They absolutely are. I know that. I'm just telling you what I ruled. Yes. Okay. So, but what I, all right. We have to get ready. I don't know what we can do, really. Maybe that's just. We have to go with the flow.
Well, part of the reason that I brought up the business about the national park here was not just to talk about me worrying about gentrification, and I am. I mean, I can see a future where people who want my little acre do what I've seen done in communities of color, like, you know, along the Atlantic seaboard where those communities have existed for 200-300 years. And one day you wake up and the county commission has said, hell yeah, make their property taxes $15,000 a year. That'll get them out of there. And then you have a sheriff's tax sale.
Overnight.
And the next thing you know, you're somewhere else. And it ain't good. And yeah, I mean, I could see that happening here. But the main reason that I brought up that national park piece at CBS was to introduce the idea that maybe that was Joe Manchin's, well, maybe his name was mentioned. I can't recall. But we've been asking on this program basically since January, what does he want?
Right.
I mean, Freud said the only question worth asking in the world was, what do women want? Well, here we are in May of 2021, and we're all scratching our heads, and what the fuck does Joe Manchin want?
Just tell us that we don't have, like...
Maybe it's to bring back more money than even Robert Byrd ever brought in. $10, $20 billion.
Okay.
To
right.
salt
like
around
like
the state.
See, you know, for some reason, someone was wondering why we kept talking about Joe Manchin one night. It's because he is the fulcrum. He is like an impediment. And listen, we got to get him done. We got to. What does he want? In other words, does the cabinet understand that this dude is playing hardball? I mean, that he's just inserted himself, and he's not moving until he gets what he wants.
Well, you know, you get far enough down south, and you go into a diner, and the server will come up, and they got an accent. And I got this story from an acting professor a million years ago out in Missouri, and he was from Massachusetts, and he said he realized he'd been in the South perhaps too long when the server came up to his table and looked at him, chomping the gum the whole time, and said, "Chomp, chomp." And he also taught speech to us, and he said, and in that moment, I realized that one uttered grunt, chomp, was three whole syllables. What do four you want? And
why you want?
Come on. And that's kind of where we are.
Well,
I mean, and you know, Joe speaks hillbilly. Maybe somebody walks up to Joe and says, "Chomp."
Well, there's a lot of exploit. See, you know, and everybody knows West Virginia is open for exploitation any which way, but, you know, every which way. There's, you know, whatever. But apparently our whole, you know, our whole country is right now, in a way. But we're moving forward, and we're trying to move forward. Now, we have to keep moving forward with what we're doing now.
Yeah.
But Joe. But, okay, so all right.
So H.R. 1, the For the People Act, is dead on arrival as far as he's concerned, but he thinks that he might like parts of the John Lewis Act.
We don't have time for him to be picking and choosing. There's just not no time for that. There's no time for that.
Feels that way to me, but here we are.
All right. Well.
And if you want to dance, he's calling the tune, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, I trust you agree.
Yeah, I'm just this whole thing is just not, it doesn't sit well. After the progress, this is pathetic. When you listen to Washington Journal, you understand that there are a lot of Americans, right, who, I'm sorry, they have been so misinformed that.
Oh, they don't have the first foggy clue how the government works. And that's not me being an elitist. It's a Byzantine. It is a stylized, formalized process, and you have to be actively taught if you would know. I mean, I don't profess to know all the rules of the House or the Senate or why they say some of the things they say.
You can't, because it's a parliamentarian. They change them every.
But it is. Time. But it is discernible. You can learn those rules, you know, motions to recommit and shit like that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
I mean, when you're a freshman in the House, I mean, you're supposed to go to freshman orientation. You know, they make you wear a little beanie for a week and shit like that.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
They're always hung over. No, they're always hungover because they get off their.
But they teach you the words to use, and they teach you to say "I yield back." You know, there's an old joke out there about a pair of twin girls, and they both marry. They both get married, and it's their birthday, and they're comparing notes, and. The one of the twins says, "Well, my husband, he bought me a Mercedes Benz." And her sister says, "How nice." And she says,
And he took me on a Caribbean cruise and a vacation to the islands. And her sister says, how nice. And she goes on and says, he bought me a 2-carat diamond ring and diamond earrings to match. And her sister says, how nice. And she said, but I'm talking about what mine's done for me. What about yours? And she said, he sent me to school. What? Yeah, he sent me to school. Well, what kind of school? Well, it's charm school. Really? What'd you learn? I learned that when I want to say fuck you, I say how nice. Sorry, but yeah. But there's some of that at work here. And you have yeah. to you have to understand the language. You have to understand where the how what the how nices mean and the you know, bless his heart, you know.
Right. The pleasantries.
My dear friend means that motherfucker over there that I wouldn't piss in his mouth if his goddamn guts were on fire. But all of that shit is in place for a reason, and people like Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber are trying to take it apart, and the rest of the Republican Party with them. They want to see people pulling guns and knives just like in the 1840s. I'm convinced of it.
See, Garrett, you pulled me in this different direction. I have to speak on what you just said, even though I really want to kind of tease out something else. But all right. So, but this is an important question because I think this is kind of where you're going, and I appreciate your not quite critique on malapropisms, but critique on misuse of phrases like people say, well, it was by accident, you know, or they say on accident instead of by accident.
On accident drives me nuts.
And what the hell is that? It doesn't even listen. The Legos don't even match up. You can't.
Oh, wait a fucking minute. The Legos don't even match up. You know, can't put Lego Darth Vader in Lego Mickey Mouse. Well, I mean, I guess you can now because Disney owns them both.
I can't look. When people say that, they can be the most erudite person in the world, but I look at them like, what? Huh? What? You know, like singles say, what? Okay, I'm sorry. Back to serious shit. What you're saying. So we've been thinking about the same thing here. This is, once again, I don't know if we're qualified to vote. Now, are people sent, especially representatives, are you sent there to represent your constituents? You're kind of deluded, misguided. But that's fine. You can be, you know, that's the thing. Where are you people getting your information? Now, if she's representing her district and they're all fucking Looney Tunes people, and they're probably second generation, because remember.
Second generation Looney Tune. Wow.
Well,
I don't like to think of it. What do you mean second, 13th?
Look, you remember... And I remember.
If you're if you're a broke ass dirt farmer in 1860, and somebody can put up a flyer saying the Yankees is a coming to fuck your women, and you believe it, and you march off and get march all over the eastern seaboard getting your ass shot off, at some point in time, isn't some of that shit on you? Weren't you the dumbass?
Well, that was QAnon's granddaddy.
While old Morris is riding up there on his noble gray palfrey, and you're boiling your fucking shoes to eat. I mean, at some point you got to own. You know what the Republicans talk about, Todd. You know, personal responsibility. So, you know, that's multi great grandpappy, and he had a son, and they's all dumber than dirt.
Oh.
All the way down to the present day, so it ain't no second generation. Sorry, you got me using ain't and my southern accent and shit like that. I'm sorry.
Your corn done poned out.
Oh, it's pwned real good.
It pwned good. No, yep, and then when they ran away, guess who was around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
Oh, by the way, people, David the Blind says, Todd, you do the crazy white guy pretty good. It sort of reminds me of my friend Roger, a black man who can actually do Foghorn Leghorn perfectly. It's scary, so stop scaring me. Besides, I'm eating chicken fettuccine with lots of mozzarella on top, and it's good. Don't ruin my dinner. Jeremy asking, tourists, would you want to see someone like the creature with the 6MWE shirt on your tour bus? You know, 6 million wasn't enough. And this, and I think this is cowbell worthy, Todd. You tell me. Matt in San Francisco, the subject line, the Joe Manchin National Park. He's already in the hotel business. I'm sure he can grift a great deal for a new national park. Let's get him all set up and paid off with more passive income for the balance of his life and stretching into the next generations of Manchin. Just as long as he gets on board and we can get done what needs getting done. At some time, you know, so, right? Yeah?
That is so Joe Manchin. His little carve-out of a prime piece of state park that, you know, just for whatever reason.
And we got a state park that's right on the rim of the gorge. It's called Hawk's Nest. We could take it. We could build it up into the into like, you know, a 50-story high-rise on the rim of the gorge and give it to him. Already belongs to the state of West Virginia. It's halfway his anyway.
Well, he said this should be an easy choice. Oh, God. I mean, whatever it takes, because the days are ticking here. You know, things are ticking. And so back to what, wow, I'm able to stay cogent here. All right, so.
Dude.
This is the thing. Where are we now? Because we're back to the point where I said, this is why I don't think everybody should vote. Until we have folks who are educated in how to understand what you see online, right? What is truth? What is not? We can't have folks, man. Why are people still using Facebook for news? Number one, after all of this, I still hear this shit.
That's an interesting point because I don't. I post some news items, like I posted that story from CBS News.
Right.
I don't. I'll post stories about, you know, what the freaks in Alabama are doing to trans kids, things like that. But I'm usually pretty comfortable with my source when I do it. But for the most part, I post my own thoughts.
Well, that's good. But you see,
and food porn.
A higher thinking person, you only post credible links. But you see. Because, you see, we're back to this thing where, and I appreciate you kind of, like, honing in on people and how they feel and what are facts. And it's just, it's so uncomfortable for them to, if they had to really, you know, face the facts, it's just too much. They don't want to deal with it. So they go with how they feel.
Right, and there's an outrage machine out there that is making sure that they feel exactly the way the outrage machine wants them to feel.
All right. So now we're back to finishing out this diatribe about Marjorie Taylor and her ilk and others like her. So are you representing your constituency, or are you doing the right thing, or is it somewhere in between? Because she probably...
Well, see, that's a hell...
Number one, wait a minute. Yeah. That woman is not developmentally well. That woman has, she's probably like a 16-year-old.
She's a goddamn menace.
She has no business. She is not fully developed. She's not. Intellectually, she is not.
I'm right there. But she's got a damn bachelor's degree from the University of Georgia, the oldest or second oldest state university in the country.
Yes, Trump has degrees too.
Right. Hitler liked dogs. Yeah. But I want to. But I want to go back for a second, because, you know, you mentioned, you know, how, well, people like Madison wrote treatises on how a member of the Congress was supposed to behave and how, and I don't mean in terms of, you know, which fork to use with the shrimp. I mean, why are you there? How do you reach decisions? And one of the things that, that he said is that you are not being sent there to be a, the way we would describe it in the modern era, you're not just going to represent the majority opinion of your constituents. You are there to do the right damn thing, and the devil take the hindmost.
Representative democracy.
You're there to make the right decision. And, of course, this is the, even as faction, what they called faction, what we call political parties, was taking shape. And, you know, he hoped that it wouldn't, and he hoped that it wouldn't, and then it did. But what we see now, I mean, there's constant news stories now, Todd, about how this Republican or that Republican, and we can't say their name because they deny it, but, you know, I've talked to them. You know what I mean? And, you know, they don't really like Trump, but they know that they got to they got to pretend to like Trump in order to keep getting reelected, and they like getting reelected. And so, consequently, you know, they vote along party lines. I mean, if there were three or four Republicans who were willing to break the filibuster over Supreme Court nominees, were willing to do it over other stuff, and just say, well, you know, it seems like fair is fair, we wouldn't be talking about Joe Manchin. In the legislative scorecard of the Senate, and I'm no fan, but Jesus Christ, Lisa Murkowski scores more liberal than Joe Manchin. And yet he said of her, oh, yeah, I'd go to Alaska and campaign her for him for her in a minute. She's awesome. She's more liberal than he is.
But he's a West Virginian.
But she's still not going to break the filibuster. She is not going to break that ancient that ancient relic of white supremacy in this government. And I don't give a good goddamn what conservative Trump Republicans think about the 1619 Project or critical race theory. It's real. Because it's based on history. They just don't. They got a nice lily white history. George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, and that went to make the stock of the pistol that John Wilkes Booth used to shoot Abraham Lincoln. You know, I mean, everything just fucking fits. You see?
I do. And thank you for spouting off, and that was a wonderful rant. And, you know, there's nothing I can say except to agree with everything you said.
And it's like a note that Matt in San Francisco just sent. Decorum in the house. If all civility and decorum in the house is lost, folks pull guns and use them and so forth. Wouldn't that just be one more reason to have a strongman dictator President Trump come on back to make sure stuff got back in line? Matt says it makes MAGA sense. You're on to something, Miss Robin. I've had the fan Todds ever since I read that story about people whispering in his ear about how he could be Speaker of the House.
No.
If the Republicans take the, you know, if the Republicans take the majority of the House, that he could be Speaker, because the Speaker doesn't have to be a member of the House.
Oh, that would be awful.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but nothing in this era, and that's the, you know, that's the joy of our existence. You know, may you live in interesting times. Nothing is crazy anymore. Nothing is inconceivable.
He will maintain white supremacy like nobody's business. Oh, my God. That would be awful.
And he would stand up in the House of Representatives every damn day and deliver basically a tweet storm. a twoop storm. And then the cue balls would say, "See, he told us he'd be back. He's really president. He's been president all along." By the way, Jude just dropped a note and said, "Let's call this Mondays with Robin and Todd. The tonal frequency of your dialogue exchange is so comfortable and lifting." Yep, it's coming home. Peace, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you.
That's what a sweet. Nice thing to say.
Isn't it just? Yeah, she's just lovely. But I'm afraid our equanimity took a little bit of a beating.
No.
And as for solutions, I don't know. I mean, it is a process that was begun with Reagan and moved forward with goddamn light speed. Horrible. Horrible.
Have you noticed more people realizing that the trickle down nonsense was nonsense now?
Well, yeah. What we're seeing, at least little feelers at, is a recognition that there is damned well a place for government, especially in the middle of a crisis. Because hey, we done had us a pandemic, and the free market didn't do shit. I mean, isn't that one of the lessons?
Well, look,
small government was not up to the task.
They don't want to accept that.
And I would kind of like to hear Bill Clinton step up to a microphone and say, "The era of big government is motherfucking back." Because we need it.
Well, look, we're going to need something because I really have a bad feeling that this pandemic, if this were a hurricane, we're in the eye right now.
Yeah, we're taking a little breather.
Because do you think what's going on in India is a night motherfucking mare? And that shit ain't staying in India. You better believe that. That ain't staying in India by no way, shape, or form. And people have gotten maybe one vaccine and not following through. You got a whole lot of people who would never take a vaccine. You see?
Yeah, but see, I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong, Todd, but I'm guessing that most of the people in India, and we have members of this community who are more than conversant with the culture there, would walk miles, for a vaccine, because they're living an unvaccinated reality in real time with it about, you know, a centimeter from their noses. And it ain't their fault, except to the extent that they, except for the ones who helped put Indian version of Trump in office there. You know, notice everywhere that it's gone to shit, there's been some right-wing dictator. Here with Trump, Bolsonaro in Brazil, Modi in India. You know, the media suppression in Russia, but yeah, Russia and Putin. Fascists tend to not give a fuck.
They don't understand that they're fascists.
I mean, guess who's not burned up with COVID? Guess who, as cash-strapped and infrastructure-strapped as they are, guess who is coming up with their own COVID vaccine and will manufacture it and give it to the world? Can you guess?
Would be who?
Cuba.
Oh, don't say. Oh, now you sound like a. Oh, here you're going to get that label again. Oh. Well, look.
Or as Kennedy called him, Cuber.
Ballyhoo, good for them. You know, this is no joke. I'm telling you. And you know, folks.
And again, their maternal mortality rate is lower than ours. This is not me saying theirs is a better system, but that's just a damn fact.
Well, see, now we're getting back to that manifest destiny thing.
people had this what they think America is and what America really is. Now, once again, right? I mean, this is just how the professionals do it. The main marker is infant mortality. That's like the main marker of how you judge how well a nation is doing in healthcare. I mean, it's weighted, there's other stuff, but that's the heavy marker. It's weighted. We've been coming up like in the 30s consistently since I was studying the stuff, late teens, early 20s. We've been the same. Now, a lot of these countries that we claim we hate. Matter of fact, Grenada, guess what? Grenada, they had, their literacy rate was like 98%. They had perfect health care. But apparently something was so fucked up with them that Reagan said, oh, no, we got to go there. We got to fuck those people up. They just got there too smart, too black, and too healthy. We got to fuck their asses up. Well, that didn't sound good, did it?
Well, no, and I'm a little bit more cynical than that. They ginned up a war, and Ronnie said, yeah, well, Mommy, we can't kick anybody else's ass. Maybe we can take them.
Oh. Wait, did he step on their neck? Was that it?
You know. Oh, but I got to wrap up, but I want to wrap up with a little food porn because we do that, right?
Right.
I did a thing yesterday.
No, not a thing.
A thing. It was kind of gray and cloudy. Today was downright gloomy. But yesterday was gray and cloudy, but it didn't rain on me. And I realized, because I'm all the time thinking, you know, what can I do that I've never done before out there? With the acorn and the Blackstone. And I was at the Wiggling Pig. And, you know, I looked at beef and bullshit beef. And I looked at pork and, you know, I did pulled pork a couple of weeks ago. Didn't have any good ribs. Chicken bores me to tears. And they had in their 5 for $19.99 area fish fillets. Really pretty catfish fillets. And I said, it's on. And then I got to thinking, and I got myself some truly quality biscuit flour. And I went over and got some shredded sharp cheddar. Go make cheddar biscuits on the acorn. And so I work up my cheddar biscuit dough, and I realize that the pizza pan that I'm putting it on, I got a half a pan left. And that's when the light bulb went on, Todd. I went running because I got to think, you know, when you're making biscuits, you know, you cut your lard into your flour till it's kind of like pea gravel. You've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to thinking about what was in the refrigerator. And what was in the refrigerator was the better part of a hunk of Glacier Wildfire Blue. And I think I mentioned it before. It's this blue cheese, but it's got a beautiful vein of chili pepper running through it.
Mm.
I mean, it's not breathtakingly hot. It's just there. And I got to thinking, wait a minute. The consistency of real cold lard, which is what you want, and the consistency right. of that blue cheese is not all that different.
Melt.
Is not all that different.
It'll melt at the same time. Damn. Mm.
And so I just cut it into little crumblies because, you know, blue cheese crumbles. And I put it there. I put it there in my. I put it there in the bowl. And I cut it in. I cut the blue cheese in with the lard and the flour. And I rolled out my biscuits and I baked them. And in the meantime, I took the and I got a brand new kind of coating mix for fish. It's called New Orleans. It's just the brand.
Uh-huh.
And I made a big batch of the can't get it nowhere but here tartar sauce. And I baked those biscuits on the acorn at 550 degrees.
Damn. Did they pop up?
Oh, they popped.
Rise up?
Oh, they popped. Fluffy. Oh.
Damn. What was the aroma like from the blue cheese?
It had its pungency and everything, but by the time it was cut in, it wasn't that noticeable. And so I baked those biscuits, and they puffed, and then when they were done, there was that, because it's, you know, wood fire, coal fired, you know, charcoal. And so you had a little bit of that hickory action, that hickory perfume going on with the biscuits, and that blue cheese thing going on. And then I did the fish two different ways. I took the wet hand, dry hand method. And I beat some eggs and poured buttermilk into it.
That is so important. Novices, take heed. That's the rule.
Wet hand, dry hand.
Wet hand.
And
either you do it right or you fucked up.
Yeah. And so I'd get it wet and then put it in the coating mix, and I had the griddle just hot. And I took a stick of butter and just drew all over it till I had a nice puddle of butter all over the thing, and laid that fillet on, and then the others I just patted the fillets dry and put them straight onto the coating mix, and they were good both ways. But then when it was all said and done, and I was pulling them off and everything, I said, wait a minute, and I took a fork, because you know when you go to split a biscuit, you don't use a knife, you want to use a fork. All the way around till it just comes open. And I took a hunk of that fish and a nice spoonful of that homemade tartar sauce and made fried catfish biscuits. Todd, oh my God. I've been rhyming tonight. It was amazing. It was astonishing.
See, that's that food. You got it. That's the shit you eat, right? You stand up and eat that. You just stand up. You don't sit down.
And the whole day. And the other thing, you know, making biscuits, so I had to have buttermilk. And right. I did that. It's a very Southern thing. The buttermilk was ice damn cold. And I got me one of them little short juice glasses. And I poured me an ice-cold glass of buttermilk. Oh, and I downed it upright. It was so good and so tangy. And it was a little warm, the day was. And it just, it was perfect cool down. And next thing I know, I knocked out about a pint of buttermilk. Because it's just that good. And people are out there going, oh, God damn, not buttermilk. Oh, it's disgusting. No, it's really not.
The biscuits alone, that alone is a hell of a cheat. That's like some serious doo-doo. Just without.
And so, I mean, I blew my own self away with that. And yeah, I can't wait.
Are you going to have grits with that next time?
Maybe, but I don't. Possibly, yeah, it's that ham. Ooh, catfish and grits, get down. Oh, that would be righteous. But what I was doing is actually an experiment, because on June the 5th, I confirmed this with my friend. On June the 5th, over at the little pub in Fayetteville, we're gonna put on a benefit. And I'm going to do brisket and pulled pork and fish. And, you know, all the proceeds are going to go to a very, very worthy cause.
So are you going to have pan-fried style fish from the Blackstone?
Yeah, because they got their own Blackstone over there.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that sounds good.
I may prefix. I'll have to prefix a bunch of it, but you know, mm-hmm. like the stuff on the smoker and whatnot. But I think it's going to be some. I'm going to make the tartar sauce. I'm going to make the hot slaw that just drove people wild, and we're going to eat.
That sounds wonderful.
And then the proceeds are going to go to Fairness, West Virginia. and they Fairness West Virginia is the group that advocates for the LGBTQIA plus community. And hopefully a lot of people show up and maybe have $2,000 or $3,000 to give them.
You know, the whole hate thing against that community, it's interesting because it takes energy. In other words, if you don't like someone, just, you know, don't interact with them.
Mm-hmm. But you know, don't attack the, you know, if you're a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian, don't attack the children that you say that you defend their right to life. Don't do that.
There's a lot of stuff they do. Yeah, they're a fraud. They believe in what they want to believe when it's convenient. We see that now. So that's a whole other, But people are who they are, and you have to accept people as who they are, and that's it. It's really not that complicated.
Accept people when you meet people, accept them where they are. It ain't rocket science.
It's not. If someone tells you, well, my name is Tom, it's not Ted, it's Tom. Oh, okay, thank you. All right, well, cool. I mean, it's not that big. Well, it's kind of a big. I mean, it's more than the name, but I mean, that's just the concept. It's like, oh. Anyway, maybe I'm off base here. I mean, it's just a hard concept for me to deal with. It's the hate thing. Whatever, people just. A whole lot to it. And it's so funny because they're the crowd that always gets caught doing some fucked up shit that they claim they can't stand. That's the funny thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, toe tapping in the men's room, right?
Toe tap. I mean, come on, it goes back to when we were young people. PTL, come on. Franklin Graham. I mean, it's all that shit. If I had known I was going to be this old, I'll tell you what. Jesus. Well,
I know.
Well,
but I thought you'd enjoy our little food porn digression.
That is amazing sounding.
There's pictures on social media, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Is it on the whatchamacallit, the online horn?
Well, it is via my Twitter feed. There's okay. A thing that shows my Twitter feed on the. Yeah.
Well. You know, good food.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I was pleased.
I hope the rest of the family is well. And
yeah, reasonably so. You may have heard people may have heard the dripping in the background. That's the water heater. But we got hot water. We just got a leak to solve.
I heard that.
Bloop.
Bloop. Just now.
Bloop. Bloop.
And then, you know what? If you replace it, I would suggest an at pump water heater. That's all I can say. You know, it is just.
Yeah, I gotta make this thing work. Because. Yeah. Bloop.
You know.
And there's nothing wrong with the water heater. Water heater's brand damn new. It's because of the way the pressure's maintained on the line. So I got to go get an inline pressure regulator. Fun.
There's no valve.
There's a pressure relief valve, but and that's where the dripping's coming from. But this is on this goes on the line coming in from the main. It's a
right. There's no okay. You don't have a cutoff valve between the street and you.
Oh, I do.
But is it like all the way on or all the way off, or can you regulate?
No, it's one of those flat handles. It's not a knob.
Yep, I got you. Yeah. Well, you know, you might be if you do it half cocked. I know half-cocked is a bad sounds like a bad thing, but
yeah, more like a quarter. Sorry.
I don't know. You know more about your house. I know about because I have one in my bathroom because I had to have it retrofitted. But and I've never done it. I have copied that. I don't know. But I understand what you're saying. But you know, this who knows? This stuff. These people, man. Anyway, back to how we started. Don't be surprised, because what Joe Manchin might have up his hat is what's happening here.
Sometimes I add two and two, and it comes out 12, and sometimes it comes out 12. I don't know. By the way, Darlene sent us a note. Infant mortality is the main marker. I understand why Todd stated that, and he's technically correct, but it underlies the true marker, how women are treated in and by the society in question, and it's absolutely true. Because the other thing that I did not mention in that is that in Cuba, you know, I just mentioned infant mortality off the top of my head, but their maternal mortality, which goes exactly to how women are treated, is also lower than what it is in the United States. And, you know, the single most important statistic anywhere in the world that can tell you whether or not a culture, a society, a polity is successful is how much freedom do women have to maintain the workings and manage the workings of their own bodies.
Where that
number is high, the success of that nation is high. Where that number is low, it is, to use a word that the former guy used, a shithole. Ta-da.
Well, you know, there's just not enough babies of a certain ethnicity in this country, and people had to make sure that you know, got to replenish the stock. Even though that's a lost cause. Once again, another lost cause. He may as well give that up. But
too many of them damn things. Todd, I got to get out of here, but it's been a great conversation, my friend.
You take care, and oh my goodness,
and keep your inner redneck, you know, under control. You don't want him getting loose.
How did people not know that was me? I don't understand.
Well, see, I knew it was you, but I had this gut feeling that you might want to be playing.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you're doing a great job, and.
By the way, I loved your note earlier. Let me pull that up, because that was just good. Are you going to calm the fuck down, or are you going to continue to have a great program this evening?
You were just rolling along like, damn. Steamroller. I'll see you next time.
Yeah, all right. You going to calm the fuck down? Todd, have a good night, my friend. Think about them biscuits. I want you to try that shit.
I could see it in my mind's eye. I was like, oh, they popped the fuck up. 500 degrees, like, poof.
And if you can get it, Southern biscuit is the best flour.
You read my mind, because you said I got the biscuit flour, and I was thinking, okay, what biscuits?
I mean, white lily's okay, but you know, either white lily or like but white southern biscuit. Oh my god!
Well, see, that's what I need to know. All right, that's what I need to know. I'm gonna get back.
I have to go all the way to Summersville to the food line over there to get southern biscuit.
Well, you better get that good ass bacon they got now. I don't know where the hell they're getting that shit from.
Food line.
Yes.
I need a name brand or something, but, you know, you let me know.
No, they're store brand bacon.
Okay, so it's just there in the meat case?
Their Food Lion brand bacon right now is the shit. I don't know where to get these pigs from. They must be feeding them brown sugar. I'm telling you, these it is amazing. The fucking bacon. Yes. Next time you go to the line, there, please. The thick cut, the regular, whatever.
It's on the list, because I got to go over there to fool with the DMV soon. Yuck.
okay. And I wouldn't be saying it if it weren't true.
Oh, I know that. Todd, you have a good night, man.
All right. Peace out.
See ya. I love our conversations. And Shorty in L.A. Pointing out, thanks for saying that Cuba has, saying Cuba. Cuba has five vaccine candidates. Iran also has three possible. I don't care who vaccinates, gets, and you know, we're giving out like 20 million plus vaccines, but, you know, 20 million vaccines in a, on a planet of how many billion? Rounding error. So thanks, everybody. It looks like we'll be at 950 tomorrow, but at least we're under four digits. $50 away from having Thursday funded. 300 from being, 350 from being done with last week. But thanks to each and every one of you, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, our a la carte contributors. Thank you all so much for making all of this possible. I can't say it enough. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep getting better, my friend. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time, please, to reach out to your member of the House and ask them to please, please, co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Please get your vaccine as soon as you possibly can. And in the meantime, make no assumptions. Just because people are going to stop wearing masks is not a good reason for you to stop wearing one in places where people are all butthole to belly button and LARPing and smolik and grabulating all over each other. Please. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distancing. The CDC says to still do that. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you talking all about how we're finally going to save the precious little fetuses, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.